I invite you tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Thinking about what Jeff had opened up, talking about the church and getting along with one another in the church, I thought about something I heard a long time ago. It says that to dwell above with those we love, well, that will be a glory. But to dwell below with those we know, that's a different story. But grace, right? Grace, God's grace. Last week, kind of gave an introduction, kind of a somewhat of a topical message on the tug of war with temptation or tug of war with the tempter. And we were reminded that there is a tempter that we face. There is an enemy. He's out to set traps and allurements and things to cause us to falter, to cause us to fall away, to cause us to doubt the Lord. But we saw that the Bible gives us great encouragement, many promises, and therein we can find great strength in times of temptation. Now we do know that, we'll get into it, that we're going to face this. It's going to come, and temptation is really, it's like it was in the beginning. It's to act independently of God. To act independently of God. To think we can do something. And it's choosing to do something. Being tempted to do something. And then giving in to that temptation is to do something that's contrary to truth. Contrary to the Word of God. Contrary to the principles laid out in the Word of God. But I love this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you haven't already memorized it, it's one you should put in your heart, to hide it in your heart. The psalmist David said that he had hid the word of God in his heart that he might not sin against God. And this is definitely a verse that we can hide in our heart that says there in verse 13, there is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. Now that's a lot packed in there. We want to unpack that tonight and just look at it. Try to see what's being said there that can help us. So we want to focus on this passage for a few minutes tonight. We have prayed. Let's pray again. Father, we need your help. We're totally dependent upon you to speak forth your truth, but Father, to receive the truth. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart and a mind to perceive and take these things in, knowing that there's always combat, we're always fighting against the flesh, the world, and the tempter himself. Father, we want to be victorious. We want to be gaining ground in our pursuit of holiness. So, Father, help us with this passage and others that we look at tonight. We might be strengthened. But to totally put ourselves at your feet and say, we need help. Lord, help us. Help us to take in this word. Help it to be in our mind that even tomorrow or even this evening when we face something, we have some help. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to look at three things. The first thing being that from this passage, there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. The first thing I want us to notice is the certainty of temptation. The certainty of temptation. It seems that in Paul's statement here, that you can tell that he's certain that temptation is certain in our lives. He says, it's common to us. It's common to man. These temptations are common. No one is excluded from temptation, and we will be confronted. I used to think that maybe as you grew closer to the Lord, as you grew in faith, that temptations would be less and less. But that's not the case. There is going to come a day when we're really going to escape all temptations. And that'll be when we are in glory. And there will be no more fiery darts of the enemy, no more temptations that will come our way. So that's something great to look forward to, but it's common. Temptations are common. All of us here know that each of us, I can look at you and know that you're facing temptations, know that you have temptations. You look at me, we know that we are being tempted. It is common to us all. Thomas Brooks said, temptations are rather hopeful evidences. I love this quote, by the way. He says, temptations are rather hopeful evidences that thy estate is good, that thou art dear to God, and that it shall go well with thee forever than otherwise. God had but one son without corruption, but he had none without temptation. So these temptations that are evidences that God is working in our lives. We think because that we're tempted that there's something wrong with us. Well, you are tempted because something's wrong with you. You're in the flesh, and there is something wrong with us. But God brings and He allows these testings, He allows these temptations to come into our lives for reasons. And so we see that, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but the certainty of temptations is that we see that it's common to man. He talks about five different temptations in the previous verses. In verse 6, he talks about lust. He says there in verse 6, now these things were examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And what he's given here is a rundown of the history of Israel and their temptations and their failures. And he says, I'm giving these to you for an example that we should not follow after that. So in verse 6, he talks about the temptation of lust. Verse 7, idolatry. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. In verse 8, he talks about the temptation of fornication. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day in 3,000. And then in verse 9, he talks about tempting Christ or the temptation of unbelief. Verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. And then verse 10, murmuring, Neither murmur you as some of them also murmured and was destroyed of the destroyer. So these historical events in the history of Israel led to devastating results. And these negative examples are to deter us from following their same path, their same mistakes. He's given them as well for a reminder for us, because he says it in verse 12. We can look at them and say, man, why couldn't they get it together? But it's also given so that we don't think too highly of ourselves. He says there in verse 12, wherefore, let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. Well, I'll never do that. I would never do this. You're just inviting. You're inviting a challenge when you say such as that. What should we say? By the grace of God, Lord, lead me not into that temptation. Deliver me from this. So we see the certainty of temptations. It was common to man. We also can note that it was common to Christ. Christ was tempted. How was he tempted? He was tempted in all points as we are. Hebrews 4:15 tells us, but yet what? Y'all awake? Christ was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Yet without sin. So Satan tempted Christ. I think we can be assured that he's going to tempt his followers as well. C.S. Lewis said, Christ, because he was the only man who never yielded to temptation, is also the only man who knows to the full what temptation means. And therefore, I believe we can say, we have the best help. We have the best help in Christ because he was tempted in all points as we are. He is able to be a high priest unto us, to be a help unto us. So we see that the certainty of temptation, it's coming. It's going to come. It comes in all shapes and forms. And man, the devil has an arsenal of temptations. And just when you may conquer something, and God gives you freedom, God gives you victory over one area, you turn and what? There comes another. And we continue this battle. We want to continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and grow in these things so that we can face the temptation when it comes. So we see that the certainty of temptation. And secondly, we will look at the character of temptation. The character of temptation. Notice the verse again. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, he made that statement in verse 12 that we take heed. Therefore, let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. So the character, the first thing we can say about the character of temptation is that it exposes the feebleness of man. It exposes the feebleness of man. The moment we think we're sure, look out. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before
a fall? Who was it that said, "Yea, Lord, though all forsake you, yet I will not. I will follow you unto the death." I say to you, you will deny me three times before the cock crows. It exposes our feebleness. When we think we're something, God will allow us to fall or to be tempted and then give in to that temptation to expose our feebleness, to expose our weakness, to expose our total reliance upon the Lord Jesus Christ if we're ever going to get victory. Later, the Lord would confront Peter again, and he would say, "Peter, do you love me?" Something had happened to his pride, because he wasn't so eager to say, "Yea, Lord, I love you, and I'll follow you." Eventually, he said, "Lord, you know. Lord, you know." So, it exposes the feebleness of man. Jim Elliot said, "Unwillingness to accept God's way of escape from temptation frightens me. What a rebel yet resides within." All things are not yet put under his feet. Our flesh is going to fight to the end. Flesh and blood is not going to inherit the kingdom. And one day, as long as we're in this, we're going to be facing temptation. It's going to expose our feebleness. But then also, another character of temptation is that it not only exposes the feebleness of man, it discloses the faithfulness of God. "There is no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful." Oh, can you draw from that? But God is faithful. In what way is God faithful when we're faced with temptation? When these temptations are coming to us that are common to everyone, what's God up to? Why is God allowing this to happen? Why is God allowing me to be tempted in this way? Doesn't he want me to be holy? Doesn't he want me to overcome these things? Why do I keep falling to this temptation? Why does this temptation keep coming to me? God is faithful. But God is faithful. He's also, among all that he is, he's omniscient. He really knows everything. He knows all things. Therefore, this all-knowing God, he knows the temptation that you're confronted with, and he knows you. Psalm 103:14 says, "For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." Therefore, also as the all-knowing God, when the temptation comes, he will complement our feebleness with his divine strength in order for us to overcome the temptation. He will equip us, he will strengthen us to be victors instead of victims. We really can win over sin. We really can win in the face of temptation. We really can overcome this If not, the word is not true, God is not faithful, and he's a liar. I'm going to believe the word. I'm going to believe the Bible. That when he says that there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man, and when it says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I want to believe that. I'm going to believe that. Martin Luther said, God delights in our temptations and yet hates them. He delights in them when they drive us to prayer, and he hates them when they drive us to despair. Do you believe that God is faithful? Then there's victory. There's victory. We think, and sometimes what we want is deliverance from temptation. We're never going to be delivered from being tempted, but we can be delivered from the temptation. We can be delivered so that we don't fall prey and sin when with the temptation. We really can't overcome this. 2 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. 2 Timothy 4:18 says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen? Amen. The character of temptation exposing our feebleness, reminding us, showing us that we're still weak, that in our flesh, we're still nothing. There is no strength in our flesh, but totally to rely upon the Lord. It discloses the faithfulness of God, that God is faithful to deliver us. Let's look thirdly at the conquest of temptation. See the certainty of temptation, the character of temptation, but then the conquest of temptation. The way of escape. He will make a way to escape. When God permits us to be tempted, he's already provided. He's already put in place a way of escape. He's faithful to do that. He makes the way out. But as you look at that passage, as you follow it on through, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. It's not that he always will take away the temptations. Sometimes God delivers us from certain temptations, doesn't he? I mean, there's things in our past that we used to be tempted to, we used to do, we used to follow after that. That was in us. We wanted to do that. But God gave us deliverance. We really were delivered from that. Even to the point that now, if you put it before us, it's like, there's nothing there within us that even wants that or has a desire for it in any way. He has delivered us from some temptations. He's taken the temptation away, and we no longer are drawn to that. But then there's others that the temptation we've had the temptation all of our lives. It's still there. And we have to battle it maybe daily, maybe weekly, maybe monthly. I don't know. But it keeps coming back. And it's something we just can't get totally free from, this particular temptation or these particular temptations. They just keep reappearing, resurfacing from time to time. So sometimes He will deliver us totally from the temptation. He will make it a way of escape from it, and we're gone. We're done with that one. But then there's others that He just enables us to be able to bear under it. To bear it. The temptation comes. It's really still a desire of the flesh, but we can bear it. We can bear up under it. We can carry this temptation. We can endure this desire that is put before us. He gives us power to bear it. Now, the secret to this is twofold in my outline. Turning from self. We all know this. We know we need help beyond ourselves. We know that within us lies no good thing. The will, the desire to do that which is good is there. But how to perform that which is good, we don't. And we have that same battle within that Paul discusses. But we must turn from ourselves. Now, don't think for a minute, oh, I can handle this now. Take heed. That's what Paul says there in Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. It's not there. It doesn't reside in me naturally. It must be a gift. It must be given to me from without side of me. So the conquest of temptation, the way of escape, is turning from self. But then you know the other part. It's turning to Christ. He is our help. He is our hope. Christ is the example to follow. He is the way of escape. While we, earlier in this chapter, we see the examples that are given there of Israel and their mistakes. They're following after lust. They're following after idolatry. They're murmuring, all of these things. We also see great examples there of men in the Bible who conquered, who overcame in the face of temptation. I think of Joseph in Potiphar's house when his wife would come to him and tempt him. He would say no. She would bring it on even more and tempt him even more. He would say no. He was given a special gift to be able to overcome. He said, I cannot sin against my master. And in his mind, he said, he's been so good to me. He's given me the kingdom. How could I go against my master by doing this sin with you? But he knew there was much more. He said, neither can I sin against my God. Moses declined to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the children of men, to suffer for Christ's sake, than to remain in ease. Daniel refused the king's food. Saints down through the ages have conquered through Christ, looking beyond themselves, knowing that they had to have an outside help, and that help came. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Philippians 4:13, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Have you been under some pressure? Been under some tempting things? Oh, there's hope. There's great hope. We have a God who's faithful. We have a Christ who helps us, who's put before us the perfect example, empowers us through fellowship with Him, through fellowship with one another. Turn away from yourself and look to Jesus, who under the greatest pressure ever faced, endured the cross for us. As you consider Him who suffered for you, don't give in, but give yourself over to Jesus, and victory can be yours. Let me give you a couple of practical things here. In the previous chapter, before Paul gets into this discourse on temptation, showing the examples of Israel, he makes a statement in chapter 9, verse 27. He says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." He says, "By the grace of God, I tell my body what to do. I bring my body under subjection. I bring my body under the obedience of Christ. Lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." He's saying, here I am, a man of God, speaking forth these truths, and I don't in any way want to allow myself to be tempted wherein I will fall in all the work that I've done be of no good, to be of no value, that I should be considered a castaway. Practice that. Practice telling your body no. Practice telling your cravings no. I mean, even just the normal cravings that we have. When you say, "Man, I'm starving to death." You ever said that? Are you really starving to death? And no, you're not. See, your body's lying to you, and you're agreeing with, "Man, if I don't get something to eat right now, I'm going to die." Really? Now, some of you may have some of that, you know, hypoglycemic or whatever that is, and that may be true. You know, you really may need to get something to eat. But most of us, we're just, well, you know, we just want something to eat. That's just one area. I mean, a lot of things that we can, you know, we just have these cravings, and we say, no. I'm not going to let my body tell me what I'm going to do. Yeah, I'm going to eat something, but I'm going to eat when I get ready to eat. Just that. Not letting your body control you. Bringing it under subjection. We can really go there. Paul talks about bringing every thought captive under the obedience of Christ. What's that said about an idle mind? I don't remember, I read it some while back, but an idle mind is tempting the devil to tempt you. If we're thinking upon the Lord, if we're thinking upon godly things, if we're memorizing verses, repeating those verses in our mind, temptations are still going to come. But hey, we've got some ammo there. got some help. Hide his promises in your heart. Take this 1 Corinthians 10:13, the 2 Peter 2:9, the 2 Timothy 4:8. These wonderful, wonderful verses. Keep watchful. Keep watchful. William Grinnell says, the thief rises when honest men go to bed. The devil begins to tempt when saints cease to watch. Be on guard. Be on the watch. Don't allow your mind to go places it shouldn't go. Don't allow your person to go where it shouldn't go. Stay away from things that you know are not wholesome or healthy to you spiritually. The things that you look at on your phone, the things that you listen to, the things that you watch on the TV. But let me close with this. What must we rely upon if these temptations persist? Say you've gotten victory over some things and you're not tempted there anymore, but here's these things that keep coming, these persisting temptations. It may be some the Lord will never remove, but He will not leave you without a way to bear up under it, to endure through it. And it's the same thing. He's going to give you the same thing He gave to the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul prayed for a certain thing to be removed from him. He prayed to the Lord 3 times. Lord, remove this thorn in the flesh. First of all, why was it given to him? So that he might not be puffed up. But then what did the Lord tell him? My grace is sufficient for thee. His grace is sufficient in that moment. Stand firm. Fight with the truth. Then put your mind on those things that are above. Allow your mind to dwell on that which is pure, that which is just, that which is honest, that which is good. It all starts in the noggin. Amen. Keep your mind on things above. And when you find yourself out there then wandered off too far out there in the midst of temptation, run. Run to the Lord. Retreat to Him. Let me give you a few things here real quick from, then we'll call it an end. Thomas Watson. Temptations work for our good. Temptation sends the soul to prayer. Temptation to sin is a means to keep from the perpetration of sin. Temptation works for good as it abates the swelling pride. The thorn in the flesh that was there for Paul was to puncture the puffing up of pride. I like that. Temptation works for good as it is a touchstone to try what is in the heart. Temptation works for good as God makes those who are tempted fit to comfort others in the same distress. Temptations work for good as they stir up fatherly compassion in God to those who are tempted. The child who is sick and bruised is most looked after. Temptations work for good as they make the saints long more for heaven. Temptations work for good as they engage the strength of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for such encouraging words
in your word. That we know that we all face temptation. We're not alone in our temptation. That there's no temptation that has taken us. But it's common to all of us. But then, Father, what follows that is that you are faithful and you will not allow us to be faced with temptation that is more than what we are able to bear. But you will make a way of escape. You will make the way for us to be able to bear under it. Father, thank you for victory that you have given us in the past over certain things that truly are no longer a bother to us. And maybe having been delivered from those things, we can encourage and help our brothers and sisters in Christ who may be facing those things. But then, Father, also things that we're faced with and some haunting over and over and over again. And Lord, we thank, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Help me. Get me out of this. And one day you are going to ultimately get us out of this. But until then, help us to know, help us to sense, help us to receive your grace that is sufficient. May your grace be sufficient for us. Father, we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father, truly help those who may be faltering in a sea of temptation. May this be what they needed tonight, Lord, that has allowed them to cast themselves before you, to not rely on their strength, but to know that your word is true, your promises are true, and we stand on those. Give us victory. Give us daily victory, Lord. We want to be holy as you are holy. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name.